Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Golden Black Radio as we take a look at this week in Purdue Athletics. Here's your host, Kyle Charter. Purdue is headed to the Music City to take on Auburn in a bowl game. That, and we'll take a look at the Boilermaker basketball team here in early December, coming up on the Golden Black Radio podcast. I'm Kyle Charters, Matt Stevens here, Brian Newbert by in just a moment to talk some basketball. But Matt, let's start off with the football team. A busy week last week, capped by the news on Sunday that Purdue headed to Nashville for the Music City Bowl, where it will take on a solid Auburn squad coming in with a record of 7-5. There's probably no reporter in the country who knows more about the two teams in a bowl game than you happen to know about Purdue, which you've covered this year, and Auburn, which you've covered in the past. What are your general thoughts on this matchup coming up on December 28th?
I think it's a really good matchup for Auburn, or for Purdue, in the sense that Auburn is not going to be at a competitive advantage at the skill position players, believe it or not. Purdue will have the most dynamic player on the field in Rondell Moore. And that's not me trying to be a Purdue homer. That's just me evaluating, you know, who the best player on the field is, and it will be Rondell Moore. My concern, if you're, you know, would be if you're a Purdue fan, is that I'm not really sure how Purdue's going to be able to block Auburn. Auburn's defensive front is just a bunch of monsters. Derrick Brown's a potential first round draft pick, 5-star talent that, Auburn did cartwheels when they got him. And Marlon Davidson's a kid I've seen since he was in high school in Montgomery, Alabama, and he's a monster at the defensive end. And Nick Coe was a guy that I covered his recruiting out of North Carolina, and he's another monster that, you know, is, you know, a former 2-time state champion wrestler who is just he was just learning how to play football. So and has developed into a really good pass rusher. So you take that, and then you add in a lot of other, you know, pieces that Rodney Garner, the Auburn defensive line coach, always develops at a high level. And I just don't know how Purdue's offensive line is going to handle that. If they can handle that, I think they're going to be okay. But this game might get – Purdue needs to win this game on the outside, because if they try to win it in between, you know, in between the tackles and at the line of scrimmage, I think they're just going to get run over.
Yeah, we saw that storyline develop several times for Purdue. If Purdue could win on the outside, then it could get victories. But if it got beat up at the line of scrimmage, then it was more difficult for the Boilermakers. So this Tiger team, Matt, started the year 4-1, a 1-point loss to LSU. It was ranked as high as number 7 in the AP poll early in the season. I know you were watching them a little bit from afar this year, but any idea sort of what happened with Auburn then down the stretch?
They lost there's two issues for Auburn, I thought. One was the issue that I thought was going to happen coming into the season, and when I covered them in the spring, is how the heck are they going to block and keep Jarrett Stidham, the quarterback, upright? And they flat out just haven't been able to. Their offensive line has been terrible. And it's really set them back against elite SEC defenses like Mississippi State, like Georgia, like Alabama, and quite honestly, like Tennessee. When they bring in a defensive type coach and Jeremy Pruitt, that's been a really big bugaboo for Auburn. And then I thought the defense didn't play up to its potential, which I thought was one of the best in the country. And when you line up with who you line up with on the defensive front, and then you line up the amount of veteran leadership that they have at that linebacker unit, and then the amount of speed that they have on the outside in their secondary, to allow Nick Fitzgerald to run for, you know, I think it was 200 yards or something, what he did in Starkville, that's a shot at your manhood. And I don't think Kevin Steele really still sits well with that one. And quite honestly, Georgia and Alabama did the exact same thing. So once they got to that point, I think that, you know, Auburn was kind of cooked at that moment. And then I think they had a lot of distractions with what's going on with, you know, Gus Malzahn, like happens with Auburn every year. Once they get to the 2 or 3 loss mark, you start to, you know, your tires start to spin a little bit, and you start to point fingers. And the first finger that always gets pointed at Auburn is the head coach. And when are we going to get rid of him? And, And there was all there. Then there's been talk about that throughout the entire month of December, or month of November, and they're into this month of December. So they're dealing with some stuff right now. Their offensive coordinator reportedly just interviewed for the same job at Tennessee. So there's unrest at Auburn in terms of what's going on in that facility there, and it's a very, very young, relatively inexperienced athletic director who's kind of dealing with that right now. So, but again, against elite SEC teams, Kyle, they just lost the battle at the line of scrimmage, and I don't have any other explanation for it other than I kind of saw this coming with the offensive line, because they were A, either going to be really, really young, or B, trying to get graduate transfers and transfers up to speed really, really quickly. And Jared Stidham holds on to the ball an awful long time for a quarterback, as I've seen. So, if they can't block you, there's not a whole lot that they can do from an offensive standpoint.
Purdue held its pre-bowl press conference on Sunday. It's going to be a defense, it seems, Matt, that's a little bit beat up going into this bowl game. I think that's safe to say. Lorenzo Neal, we know, will be out with the ACL injury. Jacob Thieneman working his way back, though he lost a lot of weight after the staph infection. We'll see if he's able to gain some of that and the strength back before the game. Also, Jeff Brohm alluding to the possibility that another defensive lineman, at least I assumed that's what he was talking about, another defensive lineman potentially being out for the bowl game, though he really, even on the follow-up question, wouldn't go into a whole lot of detail on who or for what reason. So this Purdue defense, what kind of shape is it going to be in here in about 3 weeks?
Well, your assumption is correct. It's another defensive lineman. We think it's an injury. I have a decent idea of who that person might be, but I don't really want to say right now because it could be a complete surprise. But it's another defensive lineman that they think might have an injury that might preclude them from playing. I wouldn't put too much stock in the Jacob Thieneman lost a lot of weight thing, Kyle. We talked to him after the press conference, and he said he lost about 10 pounds of strength, and he's already gotten about 4 or 5 of it back with working with Auburn's strength and conditioning program. And I can tell you this, that during the hashtag Jeff Brohm watch, I watched Jacob Thieneman go in and out of the Purdue football facility pretty frequently to get treatment and continue his rehab and get his strength back. And I fully expect him to play, and having this be his last game in a Purdue uniform, I expect him to actually play pretty well. And I think that we learned, obviously, like I said before, we learned that he's one of the MVPs of this defense because of how he can get everybody set up and lined up right with Marcus Bailey. I think Lorenzo Neal being out is going to be a big hole to fill. Figuratively and literally, because he does so much, not only in the run game, but I think he's one of the few defensive linemen on this Purdue team right now that can vertically get up the field and at least change the pocket for a quarterback, if not get a hurry or a sack or a pressure. He changes the dynamic of the pocket from the defensive tackle position, and I think that's going to be a big loss, and I think Nick Holt's going to have to account for that somehow. You would think, okay, so then you're probably going to have to blitz more. And that's fine. And again, Auburn has trouble blocking people up front, but Purdue's defensive line has not been very, very solid. And so if you're going to blitz somebody and you've got a potential NFL quarterback back there, he might be able to pick you apart. So Nick Holt's going to have to figure out a way to creatively, account for, Lorenzo Neal not being there. And I don't know what to tell him, because it really seemed like that was a big giant hole in the bucket game when he went out on the first defensive possession, but Purdue was able to manage it. Now this is a much, much better opponent in Auburn, but that's going to be the task for Nick Holt over this next month to figure out how to do that.
Much more on the site as Purdue gets ready for its Music City Bowl challenge against Auburn. Be sure to check that out at goldandblack.com. Thanks, Matt.
Thanks, Kyle. See ya.
All right, let's bring in Brian Newbert. We'll do that here in just a moment. Talk a little bit of basketball as the Boilermakers coming off a loss against Michigan up in Ann Arbor before the Boilermakers take on Maryland in what will be a big early season test in Mackey Arena on Thursday. We'll talk to Brian here in just a moment on Gold and Black Radio. On the far end of Main Street in downtown Lafayette, you'll find East End Grill, industrial and classic. The restaurant is built like a steakhouse but handles like a bistro. Easton Grill's menu includes creative starters, simple chops, salads, burgers, fresh fish and steaks, and the signature shrimp and grits. The staff prepares every item from scratch and emphasizes simple meals that incorporate fresh, local, and seasonal ingredients. A warm and inviting dining room features a cozy bar that includes a great selection of craft beer-inspired cocktails and a robust and expanding wine list. Whatever your entertainment needs are, cocktail at the bar, dinner with family, or special event in the private dining room, the energized and attentive staff is here for you. East End Grill in downtown Lafayette, welcome to our table.
Life doesn't come with a financial roadmap. It does come with a lot of bumps and red lights. Steering clear of those doesn't have to be difficult. With FirstSource Bank's online money management tools, you can see all your financial accounts, balances, and transactions in one place. So you can easily set monthly budgets to help manage expenses and debt. Get the green light to a successful financial future with FirstSource's money management tools. FirstSource Bank, where better is better. Member FDIC.
It's time to boiler up and join the Bronze Squad by gearing up with the best selection of Purdue apparel in stock only at Follett's. Visit the Black and Gold Mine store across from Mackey or Follett's Purdue West on State Street for the best game day apparel from Nike, Columbia, Champion, Cutter and Buck, and more. Shop Follett's late on game day weekends. Follett's has been your Purdue game day stop since 1945. If you can't make it to the game, shop online at FollettsPurdue.com.
Welcome to Golden Black Radio as we take a look at this week in Purdue athletics.
Purdue basketball back in action on Thursday against Maryland in Mackey Arena. And when the Boilermakers do that, they'll be looking to break a two-game losing streak. Brian, you lose two games on the road to top 15 opponents, which, you know, on the surface is not the end of the world, obviously. You're losing to a couple of good squads. But what have been the trends maybe within those two games that have been a little bit alarming for you?
Well, I think the Florida State and Michigan games are two very different games because Purdue beat Florida State. It just didn't win. In the last 3:23, obviously, everything that could have gone wrong went wrong. And what was kind of maddening about, I'm sure from Purdue's perspective, whether they look at it this way or not, I don't know, is that Florida State wasn't especially good either over that final stretch. Purdue just kind of got away from them. Everything went wrong. Some things maybe outside their control went wrong as well, in the sense that I think there were three 50-50 calls down the stretch of that game that all went against Purdue, or didn't go in Purdue's favor, I should say. So I think that was one sort of game. I thought composure is – sort of the term that sort of comes to mind again, much like it did after Virginia Tech. I think Michigan was – the outcome at Michigan was – you can't look at it and say that was altogether shocking because Purdue – A, Michigan is really good, playing as well as anybody in college basketball right now. They boat raced Villanova. They put North Carolina in a blender. And Purdue is not as good probably as Villanova or North Carolina. I know Villanova is not having the type of year it wants to have, but played a game Wednesday night at 9:30 p.m. in Florida, came home, got right on a plane basically to play a 3:30 p.m. game Saturday in Ann Arbor, Michigan. That's the that was the reality of its situation. That was a very short turnaround for Purdue, a very short preparation time. I'm not saying that's why Purdue lost. Purdue didn't lose. I'm saying Purdue didn't lose because of that. I'm saying that that was part of the circumstances of they were sort of facing there that made the sort of outcome you saw Saturday not all that surprising. But the bigger factor was simply that Michigan is really good. But Purdue obviously wasn't good. In any sense of the term, offensively, defensively, whatever it may be. How much of that was Michigan? How much of that was Purdue? I guess we don't really know, but Purdue has to be better than that if they want to win games like that moving forward, obviously.
Purdue seemingly is giving up a lot of layups, getting beat off the dribble, but also not having the big physical interior presence to help clean up, some of that. Do they have the personnel to be able to play better defensively? And if so, what do they need to be able to do?
Well, that was sort of the big watching the Michigan game was that looked like a very different team that played in Charleston. Because one of the big things for me coming back from Charleston was it looked like Purdue was sort of taking on that sort of traditional Purdue identity, kind of built on toughness, defense, rebounding, that kind of thing. And the team you saw in Ann Arbor Saturday looked the exact opposite. The effort didn't look great right off the bat. How much of that was internal, how much of that was the turnaround, if I'm even imagining that, I don't know. But obviously Purdue was nowhere near where it needed to be defensively to start that game. Right. And the last thing you need to do is go to Michigan and spot the Wolverines a solid lead that's just asking for trouble, obviously, always. But Purdue just didn't seem to be – it seemed to be a step behind. It seemed to
right. –
the effort didn't seem to be there, and that was the exact of the way it looked in Charleston, and that's just hard to explain. Now, you ask moving forward whether they have the pieces to be good. Well, they have been good before this season, so one would think that the pieces are in place for them to be good. Now, consistency is something that obviously has not defined Purdue to this point this season. From one half to another, from one week to another, they've been a very different team. Perhaps that's something Purdue just has to kind of grow into because this is a very young, very new team. So there are things, right. I keep putting it this way, there are things that either Purdue has to grow into or they're just never going to have. And I think the next couple of weeks are going to delineate between those two things.
Purdue in years past, and it's sort of the nature of the players involved, but also the fact that those guys were veteran players, had several guys who were sort of calming influences, it seemed, at times when Purdue needed guys like P.J. Thompson and Vince Edwards and, you know, Dakota Mathias. Does Purdue have one of those kind of guys, you know, right now, or is somebody going to have to develop a little bit into that role where, you know, if things are going wrong, they sort of calm everybody down and get the ship righted again?
If they have them, I don't know who it is. You know, your most experienced guys right now are Carson Edwards and Ryan Klein. Carson Edwards, obviously, we know how he's wired as a player. That's not what he's been about, that sort of level-headed sort of player. He's a very good player, a great player. He's a very aggressive player. He's a very emotional player. And what makes him a really good player doesn't necessarily jibe with that sort of situational composure you want to rub off on everyone else. Ryan Klein hasn't been in a lot of these situations before. He's not played as much as he's playing right now. He's not played in the situations always he's playing in right now. That doesn't mean he can't be that guy, but I just don't know if Purdue has that guy yet. Purdue does not have that true sort of point guard presence either. And I think you're really seeing that kind of come through where it isn't just about the position. It's not just about having that guy who's the traditional point guard skill set. It's about having that traditional point guard mentality out there, the guy who has that sort of presence about him, that sort of composure about him, that sort of leadership capability about him, that sort of organizational component about him. This is a pretty excitable team, I think, too, in terms of their wiring as people. And I just don't know if the energy they have jibes with poise when poise is needed. But that falls under the bucket, too, of this is something either Purdue has to grow into or it's never going to have. I guess we will kind of find out as the season goes on.
Probably unfair to call a game in early December a must-win game, but there are a lot of reasons that you feel like Purdue maybe needs to win this game on Thursday against Maryland. You know, among them sort of having a marquee-ish win here early in the season, not wanting to, you know, start the Big Ten 0-2 in combination with sort of looking ahead at the schedule here over the next month. So, how do you sort of qualify, if you don't want to go as far as to call Thursday must win, how do you sort of qualify this game coming up against Maryland?
Well, if you lose, you're still going to play the rest of the season. I guess that's the way I would say it. But also, if you lose, you're 0-2 in the Big Ten, and you are staring down the barrel of a slippery slope here the rest of the way. Your NCAA tournament resume to this point will be blank, and when it needed to be, at least have one entry on it, most likely. So Purdue has to win this game. I mean, I don't think there's any question about what sort of position Purdue would be in, both from an NCAA tournament resume perspective and a Big Ten race perspective, if they lose this one at home. You got to win your home games. And this is a ranked opponent you have at home. You were good enough to beat a ranked opponent on a neutral site. You were good enough to beat a ranked opponent on the road. You did neither. I'm talking about Virginia Tech and Florida State, obviously. So one would think that coming home against an opponent that probably isn't as good as either of those two, you would fare a little bit better. But what Purdue has to be careful about is to not let the results of the past couple of games here snowball on them and make them question themselves. They have to be positive about this situation. This is where leadership comes in, and leadership is a huge question for this team, if you ask me. And these are the times that you know, try and mend souls, so to speak. And Purdue, I don't know who that guy is. If they have that guy, if they even need that guy, I don't know. But Purdue needs leadership to emerge right now. If it's not overt leadership, it's simple leadership in the sense that they have to be positive with one another. They have to stay together to understand that they have played well enough to win, and the things they have done that are positive need to be their normal, and so on and so forth. So Purdue has shown they are good enough to win good games, big games, but they just haven't yet, and they can't let the disappointments of the past couple of games here create even more. And this season can go sideways real fast if they do that, if they don't do that, I should say.
Certainly makes for a big week headed in the game against Maryland. We'll read all your previews, Brian, on the site at goldenblack.com. Thank you.
All right. Thanks.
All right, let's take another break. We'll be back to put a wrap on this podcast here in a moment. This is Golden Black Radio. The Chargers team at RE/MAX Ability Plus is your experienced real estate group in Greater Lafayette. If you're looking to buy, sell, upsize, downsize, or anything else, give me a call or text at 765-412-5217 or email me at kyle@chartersteam.com.
Often, things are worth more than they seem. For Purdue grad and NASA astronaut Jerry Ross, incredible value was found in the Purdue Alumni Visa. Not just because of the exclusive Purdue card designs, but for the unlimited cash back and out-of-this-world Visa benefits. Discover the official Purdue Alumni Visa credit card. Apply today at PurdueFed.com. Purdue Federal Credit Union. Belong where you have worth. Federally insured by NCUA.
Your neighborhood bar. 6th Street Dive Bar and Grill is a perfect must-stop location on your way to and from the game at the corner of 6th and Salem in Lafayette. Whether it be great food, authentic Tex-Mex, along with many Indiana favorites, served from 11 a.m. to 3 a.m. every day, sports, games, live music, trivia, or just fellow Boilermaker camaraderie, the Dive is the place to go. Don't miss Geeks Who Drink Trivia at 7:30 Tuesday nights, and live local music without a cover charge at 10 o'clock Fridays and Saturdays. If it's college sports you crave, the 6th Street Dive has you covered there too with its multiple big screens. So dive on in to the 6th Street Dive at the corner of 6th and Salem in Lafayette.
Welcome to Golden Black Radio as we take a look at this week in Purdue Athletics. Here's your host, Kyle Charters.
Reaction to Purdue's bowl bid at the Music City Bowl, including video of the press conference from Sunday. Look for that on goldandblack.com, and plenty for Purdue leading into its game against Maryland. All right, that'll do it for our podcast for this week. Be sure to check out Gold and Black Radio Express as well, delivered to you in the same fashion as this podcast. So in news break analysis from the staff of Gold and Black. All right, thanks to our sponsors, East End Grill, First Source Bank, Charters Team at RE/MAX Ability Plus, Follett's, 6th Street Dive, and Purdue Federal Credit Union. We'll be back again next Monday with our next Golden Black Radio podcast. For Matt Stevens and Brian Newbert, I'm Kyle Charters. Thanks for listening. This is Golden Black Radio.